Obviously something that we talk about all the time. We should think about all the time, but this week especially, maybe I'll read you on Thursday, remind me to read you the amazing, I read it every year, but it's a first-hand account that Rabbi Willig, you might have heard it before? Rabbi Willig was in Kerem Biavne in 1967 for the Six-Day War. So he writes what it was like, and he writes the experience of Yom Yerushalayim, Nisim and Niflos, and what that shuas was like a week later. But it's really amazing to appreciate the Nisim Niflos that we get to, like he writes there just at the beginning, just one line to get into this sugya. He says, you know, like we think about, like when Mashiach comes, that's what they thought, like they'll see the Kotel when Mashiach comes. Like that's what they thought. You know, there was Jordan had it for the past 19 years. And like, when are we ever going to be able to like daven by the Kotel? And like, we heard about it, but when Mashiach comes. Like we think when there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. Like, do we think there'll be a Beis HaMikdash next week? Halavai, we should, and we should believe it. Amen. But deep down, we should. So sometimes I put, you know, I talk to my 12-year-old, he's like, yeah, but Abba, Mashiach's not coming tomorrow, right? I'm like, I hope it is, but, you know, deep down we're like so jaded, and because that's what we're used to. But we believe it can happen. But he says that's how they thought, you know, the old city was going to be, when Mashiach comes. And then, like, overnight, it was it changed. But again, this is a week, if you can, read up. You know, read the stories, read the history, just to appreciate. But anyway, so we'll talk about Yerushalayim. This is a shir I gave on Shabbos, so I thought I would give it to you also about the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. So, on the why was Yerushalayim? What makes Yerushalayim special? So there is a legend, right? There is a legend that there were two brothers that were living near each other in Yerushalayim. One of them had a lot of kids, and one of them had no kids. And the one that had a lot of kids used to think about the other, my brother has nobody to help him with the shopping, with everything. You know what? He probably needs more stuff. So every night he used to take some grain and go up the mountain and go over and put it in his brother's barn. And this every night the other brother said, you know, my brother has so many mouths to feed. He has so many kids. You know, he probably needs a lot more grain. So every night he used to go and take grain and put it into his brother's barn. And this happened every night. And one night, they happen to be going at the same time. They happen to meet each other on the top of the mountain, and they realize what's going on, and they give each other a hug and a kiss. And Hashem says, "That's the spot where I'm going to have my base of English." Great story. No source, right? It's a legend. I grew up hearing that story also, but it's not in a medrash anywhere. It's not in the Gemara anywhere. But it's a nice story. But that's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that spot of my Maimonides. But so what is it about that spot? So on the surface, Mitzad Echad, on the one hand, it has nothing to do with us. Hashem chose this spot because before the world was created, Hashem sanctified, was Makadish this spot. Nothing to do with us. And there are many sources that seem to say that. Right? The Sefer Achinuch writes in or even the source number one, the Medrash Tanhuma and Parshas Kedoshim. Right, Kishim Shatibur has said Nasin Bem Sa'ish Kacher Tisol Batibur Shal Olam. Just like a belly button is in the middle of a person, so to Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the world, and Yerushalayim is in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, and that is called the Evan HaShasiya. What is the Evan HaShasiya? What does that mean? How would you translate? The stone from which the whole world is created. What's that called in English? The foundation stone. The foundation stone. There is a huge stone under the Dome of the Rock. Is that the stone? Who knows? But from that spot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Right? Hashem had to start somewhere. The Ramban talks about this in Brachos. Hashem had to create some type of matter, and then from that matter, the whole world expanded, and he created. Where was that matter? Hashem created Yerushalayim HaKadosh. He created the Makom HaMikdash, that spot. Why did he choose that spot? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that spot. Right? And from that spot, the entire world was created. That's the Evan HaShasiya you see in source number one. The foundation stone. Shemimena Hushtata Olam. That language is found in the Gemara. In the Gemara Maseches Yuma. Evan HaShasiya, the foundation stone. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, that spot, it represents purity. That spot represents Kedusha. But it has nothing to do with us. Right? Hashem created the world. Right? In source number four, the Medrash. Right? Avram Fried made this Medrash famous. Yerushalayim Oro Shel Olam. Yerushalayim is the light of the world. It's what made it the light of the world. Hashem decided that, you know, it's the light of the world, right? Again, all of these, you know, doesn't tell us in these sources, like, what makes it holy. What makes it Kaddish? Hashem had to choose one spot. So that's the spot that that made it Kaddish. And if you look at the Psukim, where Yerushalayim first comes into the Tanakh, where the Psukim describe how David HaMelech was sitting in Chevron. He was king for how many years?
Seven
and a half. Excellent. And then there was some type of pull. I have to go to Yerushalayim. Doesn't say why. He just decided, I need to go to Yerushalayim. I need to go there. Some type of spiritually magnetic pull that was pulling him. Right? And source number 8, the last psukim in Sefer Shmuel. The last psukim in Sefer Shmuel, he says he goes, he buys the field from Aravna or Avana, different pronunciations, and he buys it, and that's where he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Unclear. So on the one hand, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is Mitzad Hashem. Hashem decided to sanctify it. Hashem decided that that's the spot. But there is one major event that happened there. To use the language of Rav Soloveitchik, that event created a partnership between man and Hashem in the Hakdasha of the Makam HaMikdash. I wrote down the Lashon. Avram Nasa Shutaf B'Hakdashas HaRabayis. Through that event, Hashem allowed humans to be part of the sanctification of the Hakdasha of HaRabayis. And that, of course, was the event that we still use today to tap into, especially Yom HaNoraim time. We talk about this over and over again. And the Satan so badly did not want this to happen. Because the Satan knew that we're going to be able to latch on to this forever and ever. And that's why the Midrashim and Parshas Vayera, the Satan dressed up like everything to try to get Avram not to do it. But we know Avram Avinu was successful, right? Akedas Yitzchak. Only twice in all of Tanakh does the word Moriah appear. Right? Source number 9, Lech Lecha Eretz HaMoriah, by the Akedah, go to Eretz HaMoriah, and in Divrei HaYamim, describing the Beis HaMikdash, it was in Moriah. The Akedah created something in that spot. So what we're going to talk about today is, what is it about the Akedah? What did the Akedah put into that spot, Yerushalayim? And that spot now signifies that message for us. What the Akedah did, somehow that adheres in Yerushalayim. So whatever we're in Yerushalayim, whatever we feel, the aura continues Ad Hayom Hazeh. So we're going to talk about 3 ideas that are about the Akedah, but the Akedah then put into the Makom HaMikdash. Okay, that's background. We're good. Just parenthetically, I should have said this at the beginning, but either way, I'll say it now. This is a great back pocket one-liner. You might have heard me say this before, but if you take anything out of today, this is very usable. Very usable. Yaakov Avinu wakes up from his dream, right? And he sees a sulam, a ladder. The only time that word appears in Tanakh, sulam. Sulam mutzavarta, varshim agiyah shemaima. The ladder goes all the way up. And he says, Ein zekiyim, beis elokim v'zeh shar shemaim. Beis elokim v'zeh shar shemaim. Ask Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, aren't those contradictory? Bias and sha'ar? A bias is a place you go to, and a sha'ar is a place you go through. Right? You go to a house, you go through a gate. So how could the Beis HaMikdash be both a bias and a sha'ar? A bias, you know, says Rav Aaron, because the Beis HaMikdash was both. And Yerushalayim is both. On the one hand, it's a goal. It's an end. It's a base elokim. It's a place that we go to get spiritually uplifted, to have that base elokim. But it's also a shar. It's also a gate that we have to use to get to even higher heights. You can't just say, this is the goal and the ends, I've come here. You have to use it to go with you and take it to the next step. And that's really every spiritual experience in Judaism, in life. It's about being a bias and a shahar. Every Shabbos is a bias and a shahar. It's a goal. Shabbos is awesome. We think toward Shabbos. We focus on Shabbos. We experience Shabbos. That's a goal. It's a bias. But it's also a shahar. we take the experience of Shabbos to get to even higher after Shabbos. And then we, every tiyul, every Shabbos, every Seder, this afternoon, you're going to have an afternoon Seder. That's a bayit, that's a goal. You do it, it's awesome. You give yourself a shkoyach. But it's also a shar, depending on how that experience of Seder was, my night Seder is going to be even that much better. And the next day. So every experience in life has to be a bias and a shar. Right? You could use that, I'm telling you. First of all, any Shabbos you can use that. Because every Shabbos, you talk about Yerushalayim, talk about Shabbos, but also every experience. Marriage has to be both a bias and a shar. You know, the marriage is a goal. You've made it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But obviously, marriage has to be a shar. It has to be every birthday, depending on what event you're talking about here. But we're going to talk about the source of that idea, and that is Yerushalayim, bias and shar. Okay, here we go. Three ideas about Yerushalayim, and that's what Avraham Avinu put into that city, and that's what we still feel today whenever we're connected to Yerushalayim. Okay, source number 12. Message number one says, Reptam Eliyahu, who wrote it? Rav Dessler says, Rav Eliyahu Eliezer, or Eliezer Eliyahu, I don't remember which one it is. Rav Dessler, he was a Rav in England for many years. He came to be a Mashgiach in Panovich, and he was Nifter soon after he came to Bnei Brak, so he was not a Mashgiach in Bnei Brak for so long, but he's buried in that same cemetery. If you ever go to Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right, Rav Shach, and Rav Dessler is a little bit down the row. Anyway, so Rav Dessler says, Avraham Avinu, in order to accomplish the Akedah, had to overcome three contradictions. Had to overcome three challenges to his essence in order to overcome it and do the Akedah. Number one, says Rav Dessler in Source 12, Ulam yesh bechina elyona mizev, he mesiris nefesh haruchanit. Hare hekir Avraham. Avraham recognized, line 2, shebekimo tzivu yzeh, fulfilling this akedah, yivatel v'yister b'moyadav, as kol mashapah v'shedach haruchani b'chayev. He's going to undermine everything he's done in life so far, spiritually. He spent his life spreading monotheism, spreading the idea that there's a kind God, a just God, a God that does not believe in child sacrifices, a God that loves you and cares for you. That's what he spent his life doing. And now, in one moment, on the front page of all the newspapers, Abraham kills son. Abraham the faker, right? He's about to undo everything. In this one act, Hu gir gerim, v'herol hem lishmar derech Hashem, lasos tako mishpat. That's what he spent his life doing. Liben midas hachesed. He fought against the idolaters and the Olei Avodah Zarah that felt kakrovas b'nei Adam. And in one moment, he's going to undermine it all. He doesn't say a word. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is what he does. So number one, it's going against his entire life's work. It's going to be undermined and ruined. Number one. Number two, it's going against and undermining an explicit promise from Hashem. Hashem already promised, Ki b'yisrach yikarei b'chazara. Right, Rashi quotes that. The end of Yakeda, source number 13. Right? You said, Ki b'yisrach yikarei b'chazara. And now you say, he's 137 years old. It's not like he's having any more kids. So how is that? I'm supposed to have a great nation from this child, and now you're saying, kill him. That doesn't make... Not a word. Not a word. I'll do it. So number one, it's going against his what he's done spiritually his whole life, his parnasa, his avoda. Number two, it's going against a mafurish promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai, the next source. Rabbeinu Bachai is one of the great Rishonim. He's an underused and underappreciated. The Ramban is famous. The Ramban obviously is classic. Rabbeinu Bachai is a Talmud of the Ramban, but is also a colleague. He says a lot of what the Ramban says, but always has a little more. I remember one year, I think my Shana Beth went through a lot of Rabbeinu Bachai. I don't remember any of it. But I remember went through a lot of it. And it's not hard, you know, Hebrew. It's a little more expansive from the Ramban. But anyway, so if you get a chance, Rabbi Nachman. Every parsha he starts off with a pasuk. He quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. He talks about it for a page, and he says, "And the message of this pasuk is exactly." And then I'll quote the first pasuk of the parsha. That's how he connects. He takes a pasuk of Mishlei. He develops an idea. He'll talk about staka. He'll talk about shalom. He'll talk about this. And this is Vayishma Yisrael Kohen Midyan Chosei Moshe. That's how he starts every parsha. Anyway, so Avraham Avinu, the Akedah, is going against his life's work. It's going against an explicit promise from Hashem. Number three, it's going against, Rabbi Nachman, the unimaginable love that Avraham Avinu must have for Yitzchak. He says, we can't fathom what his connection must have been. Let's read it. He says on the fourth line, I'm in 14. Vanisayon azeh lo haya kishar hanisyonos. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, this was not like the other tests. According to Moshe Rishonim, this was test number 10. This was not like it. Ein hateva yachola sovlo. We can't fathom this test. The ein hakoach hamedame yachola chashvo. And our imagination can't conceive and think about what this test was. Shehi adam akar v'zakein ben me'ashana. You have a man who is barren for 100 years. 100 years. Doesn't have a child to walk after him, to follow in his footsteps. V'lo osher v'nachasim v'kavet. And he had everything. He has riches. He has honor. V'yimisavi l'ben b'tachlas ava. And he just wants a child to pass everything on. Doesn't want it to end. V'yayelo ben achar yeish. And he finally has that child. Hashem gives him a son. He finally has that son. Imagine how he feels after 100 years. Hayaroi lachshov tokef ava chazak lebenahu. How much love he must have had. V'tichval ava yoser v'yoser. And even more, l'sof shana. Right? Imagine after a year. First of all, after 8 days, it was the first person, the first Jew to get his bris milah dayek, Yitzchak. And then after a year, how much he must have felt for his son. Mashe ben shmona yamim. V'tichval lachamesh v'eser shana. 5 years later, 10 years later. The love grows and grows and grows as he educates him. And imagine how much his love was when he was 37 years old. And he had chavrusas with him, and he philosophized with him, and he spent so they were connected. Their souls were connected. Nafsho kshura b'nafsho. We can't fathom how they were connected. And Hashem says, kill yourself. It doesn't enter into our brain. So Avraham Avinu had to overcome. This was going to destroy his life's work. This was going to destroy the promise Hashem already promised him. And this was going to undermine and go against the love that he has. And yet, Avraham Avinu didn't say boo. Avraham does it. First message of the Akedah is the total selflessness, fealty, bitul hayesh. This is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. This is what I do. Right? A total Mesiris Nefesh that a Jew has. If anybody needs a pencil or a pen, I have here. Right? The total Mesiris Nefesh that a Jew has for the Dvar Hashem. That's what the Akedah symbolizes. And that power was put into Yerushalayim. The power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the center. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what I'll do. Even if I don't understand it, even if it's hard. How many Jews have done that throughout history? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Right? In a less extreme case, I gave you where Salvation talks about last week's Haftorah, which we didn't read. It was the Haftorah for Barsha's Bahar. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yirmiyahu Anavi, who's sitting in jail. It says, Yirmiyahu, go buy some real estate from your uncle. I think it's a great deal. Hashem, didn't you tell me there's going to be a churban and we're going to get thrown out and exiled? And yeah, but spend the money. Buy the real estate. Doesn't make any sense. Right, again, we're not going to read it, but that's Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu, you do it. Yirmiyahu doesn't ask any conscience. Rabbi Lau, former chief rabbi, right, not the previous one, his father, writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Going to get a nice set, Yachal Yisrael. Yisrael Meir Lau, it's an amazing set. It's big fat, 6 volumes. But Yachal Yisrael, he writes, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, source 16, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, anyone whose actions are greater than their wisdom will last. So your actions have to be greater than your wisdom. Ask Rabbi Lau, how is it possible to have actions greater than wisdom? Don't you need wisdom in order to act? If you don't have any wisdom, what are you going to do? You're not going to know what you're doing. What does it mean, ma'isa merubin mechachmasa? So it says Rabbi Lau, because our generation is plagued by, well, if I don't understand it, I don't feel it, I'm not going to do it. Rabbi, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling davening. You know, the average high school, 11th grader on the street. Rabbi, I'm not feeling it, Rabbi. You know, maybe tomorrow. I don't understand it. I don't. Ma'isa merubin mechachmasa. It's exactly the message of the Akedah. You do it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Ma'isa merubin mechachmasa. Shemakaba Allah v'kayim es kol mitzvah satorah lo yotzei min haklal. Right? That's what we do. Even if we don't understand it fully, even if we're not in the mood. Right? Ma'isa merubin mechachmasa. You know, that's the message. That's the message of Akedas Yisrael. The first message. First message that Avraham Avinu did it because this is what Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants. Even if I don't understand it, even if it goes against certain things, even if I'm tired, Ma'isa merubin mechachmasa. It's an amazing story. I've used this story often. Reminds me of Nathan Sharansky's story? The story? It's, I heard him say this story. And then I also, he writes it. I heard him speak once. And he thought the story over. Except for the punchline. But he's an amazing figure. If you know about it, I remember when I was growing up, he was, he's stuck in Russia in jail, and we used to go to rallies to get him out. We all knew Nathan Sharansky, never. And then finally, he got out and made it to Israel and became part of the member of the government. It's just amazing. But there's a story that when he was incarcerated, they put him in jail the day after Shavuot Brachos. He got married, and they knew he wanted to go to Israel. So that's why they threw him in jail, because he was a prisoner of Zion. Anyway, they threw him in jail. When he went into jail, his wife, of a week, gave him a Tehillim. Gave him a Tehillim and said, "This Tehillim, you hold on to it." He didn't know Aleph Beis. He was not from at all. He wasn't dati. He didn't know anything. He just knew that he wanted to go to Israel. His wife gave him this Tehillim. Okay. He was Moser Nefesh with the Tehillim. He says, "I went on hunger strikes for the Tehillim. They put me in solitary confinement, and they took it away. I didn't eat." He says, "Until they gave me back the Tehillim." He was Moser that Tehillim. He didn't even know, but somehow, he explained, I don't understand this, he's some type of mathematical super genius that, based on the letters, he taught himself Aleph Beis. Based on where the letters are and how they... Don't ask me. I have no idea. But somehow, he taught himself the Hebrew language based on, I don't know, you could give me Japanese for 1,000 years. But he figured it out. He said, the first pasuk that clicked in my mind was Gam ke'elech b'geitz ha'maves, lo yireru ki'atoyimah. So that's the first pasuk that I finally got the whole pasuk. See, he was Moser Nefesh for this tilm, and he writes about that. That's the part I heard from him. P.S., I don't know, but 10 years ago, there was a post. There's a woman who teaches Tanakh in some of the seminaries. So she said she was online on a Friday afternoon in Yerushalayim on a bakery waiting to get challahs. And all of a sudden, she sees online in front of her is Nathan Sharansky. Because he has this little hat and a little jacket. Then all of a sudden, she says, "Mr. Sharansky." So, yeah. He's just like, "What? It's such an honor to meet you. It's amazing to..." "I teach Tanakh," she says. I always start off with a story. When I teach Tehillim, I always start off the story with about your Tehillim. He reaches into his jacket pocket and he takes out the Tehillim. And she said, "What, you carry that wherever you go?" He said, "No, I don't carry it. It carries me." That's what he said. Ma'isa merubin mechachmasa. He didn't understand why he was Moser Nefesh for it. He didn't know, but that was the power of the Akedah. The power of the Akedah. I'll add a PPS. Remember 2 weeks ago, I went to this, like I told you, this conference in Ashdod. So it was Rabbi J.J. Schachter. He's one of my rabbis. He's from YU. He's a big scholar. So he
Let me find the. So he ran this conference, and then I don't know what this thing is called. Let me find it. And then there's this new. Oh, I think I know what it's called. Yarchei Kala Wykoff. No, wrong one. That's. You'll see why I'm showing this to you. So the day after the conference, he went to meet, and he had a meeting with Alan Sharansky. So they took a picture of him, and they took a picture of him at the thing. They sent the picture, so I WhatsApped on the. I'm like, is he holding the Tehillim? Rabbi J.J. Schachter is holding the Tehillim. So the guy said, yeah, so nobody else on WhatsApp. They're like, what Tehillim? What are you talking about? I'm like, that's the Tehillim. So if you're in the know, you know the story. And so I'm like, that's the closest I've gotten to the Tehillim. But it's just tiny little, you know. Anyway, but it was very exciting to see that, like, mamish, like, the day after. Anyway. Okay, that's message number one of the Akeda. Message number one is the total hisbatlus to the word of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants this. And that's the power that was put into Yerushalayim. How many Jews throughout history have given themselves for Yerushalayim for the what it symbolizes? Number one. Message number two. Message number two. Rambam, Moreh Nevuchim, source 18. The Rambam says the Akedah symbolizes for us something else also. You know, if you were Avram Avinu, you know, you had a tzivui and. Did Hashem really mean that? Did I hear correctly? Did I understand correctly? If there was any doubt in Avraham's mind of what Hashem meant, he wouldn't have done it. Because of everything we just said. The fact that Hashem, that Avraham Avinu acted in the way that he did, you know what that reflects to us? The clarity of communication. That Nevuah is. The Akedah teaches us that when Hashem speaks to a Navi, clarity. There are different types of clarity. Moshe Rabbeinu versus the other Nevi'im. Moshe is clear and the other Nevi'im have to interpret a message. But either way, there's clarity of communication. Let's read the Rambam. In source number 18, the Moreh Nevuchim. Third line. V'rata lohodienu. This teaches me. Everything that a prophet sees, who emes v'yatzav etzel anavi, it's clear to the navi. Lo yusupach b'davar b'meno eslo klal. There's no doubt. V'dino eslo kedin in yonim hanimsoim kulam hamusagim b'chushim. And when a navi sees something, it's as real to him, just as this watch is real and this pen is real, and I feel and all my senses, just like all my senses are real. So too, when a Navi communicates with Hashem. V'raya alzeh, what's the proof? Hiskim Avram l'shchodes b'no yuchido. That Avram Avinu agreed to shecht his son asher ohav, that he loved, k'moshe tziva. V'yafa pishayis ha-mitzvah zibachalom, it was in a vision. V'lu haya Navi misupakim, if there was any doubt, b'chalom shel nevua. If there was any doubt, he wouldn't have done it. The Akedah proves to us the clarity of communication between man and a Navi. That's the Akedah. So one might say, okay, what does that do with me? I'm not a Navi. And we don't have any Nevi'im nowadays. Does this message have any Lamaisa message for me? Since the Rambam doesn't say, but I'm adding this. We know it's really one of the Animamins. One of the Animamins is that we believe in the institution called Nevuah, prophecy. Right, that's the sixth source, 19. The Rambam, we know, came up with the Animamins. And one of them is Nevuah. And then Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is unique, but we sing it in Yigdal, right? That Nevuah. Yisod HaShishi Nevuah. Ladas, we believe in Nevuah. Ladas HaZeh HaMin HaEnoshi. Right, there are certain types of individuals. Yesh Yimsubo Ishim Ba'alei Kishronos Mefutachim. There are certain individuals that are very spiritually developed. V'tischone Nafshon Achem Mekabel Asuras HaSeicha. They become connected to Hashem. Amazing, we believe in Nevuah. Let me ask you, does this have any relevance for me today? I'm not a Navi. There are no Naviim today. If anybody says they're a Navi, we don't have it. And what's so important about that being a Yesod? So I think maybe using a thought of Rav Soloveitchik, one of my favorite thoughts, again, I'm not such an expert, but one of my favorite things that he wrote that I know of is in source number 20, in Ish HaEmunah, where the Rav asks, and again, if you remember anything from the Shir, this source is unbelievable. The Rav asks, when did tefillah, the fixed tefillah, start? Who made the fixed tefillah? Who made the fixed tefillah? Where does it come from? Right, he was the first one to make a sitter, Rav Amram Gaon. That's stretch. But the root, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Right, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that lived at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Right, the 120 great rabbis, beginning of Bayis Sheni, they instituted brachos and Hav Kiddush and tefillah. Why dafka then did they formalize tefillah? Right, what was there a historical reason? Why dafka then? You know, let us keep davening. Why? Because it was the beginning of Bayis Sheni. You want to say, oh, we were going to go into Golus and nobody knows how to talk properly, so do it at the end of Bayis Sheni, 400 years later. So why, Dafka, did they create tefillah? Says the Rav, unbelievably beautiful. They knew some of those 120 were the last Nevi'im. Chagai Zechariah Malachi. They knew that Nevuah was ending. They knew there would be no more direct communication between Hashem and the Nevi'im and the prophets and his people. They would not and could not accept the reality that there would be no more communication between Hashem and Am Yisrael. So you know what they said? If he's not going to talk to us, we're going to talk to him. Tefillah is a hemshich of nevuah. Tefillah and nevuah are two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing. It's a conversation between us and Hashem. The only difference is who starts the conversation. Whenever you have a conversation, one side is talking and one side is listening. By nevuah, Hashem is talking and we're listening. By tefillah, we're talking and Hashem's listening. Tefillah is mamshich the idea of nevuah. They knew Nevuah was ending, and they said, we want to keep the communication conversation lines open. And maybe that's the yesod of Nevuah. When the Rambam said, you have to believe Animam and Shleim and Nevuah, it's not just Nevuah. We believe in the direct clarity of communication between Hashem and Am Yisrael. Sometimes that's in the form of Nevuah, sometimes that's in the form of Tefillah. Whenever we go to Davin, that's a reflection of Emunah, that we know Hashem's, we think, we believe Hashem's listening. Right, Ashrei Shevesecho, Yalech Hasela. Who are we talking to? If you don't believe in this Yisod, what we're doing makes no sense. The Yisod that the Rambam is talking about, which the Akedah proves, is the clarity of communication. Let's read some of his words now. Line 5. You excited about this idea? Thank you. Klalo Shaldavar. Tefillah v'nevuah, line 6. Hein Shtei Hagdaros Nerdafos. Tefillah and Nevuah are two synonyms. L'dusia chanosi ofi, to the conversation, shall bris, the covenantal conversation. It's a fancy Soloveitchik word. Bein ha'elokim v'ha'adam, between God and man. Achein, kilas ha'tefillah nolda. When did the tefillah start? Ba'osa shah mamish. At that moment in time in history, k'shakilas ha'nevuah higi elokitza, when Nevuah was ending. See where I am, line 8? V'chasher kilas ha'tfilah ba'al olam ha'ruach she'yehudi, ha'kadum, lo himiras kilas ha'nevuah. Tfilah did not reject nevuah, ela hensicha ota, but it eternalized it. Ha'tfilah hi hemshech shel nevuah. Tfilah is a continuation of nevuah. V'ha'agud ha'shel mispalim, and the group of daveners, himavela agud ha'shel nevi'im, it's like the group of nevi'im. The only difference between nevuah and tfilah is who starts the conversation. But the content is the same. The content is the same. And then look at this. This is one of my favorite. How does he write this line? Line 20. See where it's underlined. Heim sirvu lihi kana. They refused to be humbled. Limitzius historis vachzaris. To the tragic difficult reality that there wouldn't be any connection between us and Hashem.
They said, we're not accepting that. So they created tefillah.
They created that reality, and therefore, that is how Nevuah continues. Forever and ever, the conversation will continue.
Right? That's message number two of the Akedah.
It's a reflection of the clarity of communication, and there is always communication between Hashem and man. If there was a famous unkelist, then this would be it. Right? I'm going out on a limb here. I don't know any other unkelists, so maybe there's only one I know. That's why I'm calling it famous. As you know, if you know it, it's famous, right? In Source 21, when Hashem created man, Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chaya. Hashem created us as a Nefesh Chaya, a talking spirit. Nefesh Chaya Ruach Memalala, not a live spirit, talking spirit. Right? That's how Hashem created us. Question. Hashem created us, right? What makes human beings unique? That we're talking, we have the power to talk. When we were created, who were we supposed to talk to? We were created with a special power of Koach HaMedaber, right? That makes us different and unique. There was nobody to talk to when we were created. Isha wasn't around yet. Hashem. That's the essence of who we are. We talk to God. Right? When we're home alone and we bang our shin and we yell out in pain, who are we screaming at? Who do we expect to hear us? Oh, it's just natural that you scream out. What do you mean natural? Why is it natural that you bang your shin and you sneeze? No. You bang your shin and you scream out because it's part of our essence to call out to Hashem when we're in pain. Right? When we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's part of who we are. We're a Ruach Mamalala. We're a talking spirit. Who are we supposed to talk to when we were created? That's the natural state that we talk to Hashem. Right? It's part of who we are. I think I've quoted this diak in a Sichas Chaim before. Remember this Gemara? Shabbos Chetes, verse 22. At a certain time in history that Hashem wants to destroy the Am Yisrael, so he goes to the Yavos and says, I need some defense. So he says, Am Ravinu, Banecha Chatuli, your children have sinned. What do you say? What do you say? Right? What does he say? The end of line 2, Banecha Chatuli, Am Alafanav Avram Ravinu says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yimacha Kedusha Shemecha. Destroy them, sorry, can't think of anything. Thanks a lot, Abraham. Right, so Am Alafanav, okay, Yaakov. Yaakov, what do you say? Banecha Chatuli, your children have sinned. What does Yaakov Avinu say? Yimacha Kedusha Shemecha. Destroy them. I have no defense. Avram and Yaakov did not help us out. So Yitzchak's our last chance. So Hashem goes to Yitzchak. Amar lo Yitzchak, in the middle of line 5, Banecha Chatuli. So Amar lafanav. So Yitzchak says, one second, Hashem, one second. Ribbono Shel Olam, Banai v'lo Banecha. What do you mean? Your children have sinned. What do you mean? They're my kids, they're not your kids. It's like when a child does something and the parent says, you know what your daughter did? This is not my side of the family. You know, I don't know. This is does not come from my genes. That's for sure. What do you mean, Banai v'lo Banecha? Kodesh Baruch Hu, these are your kids as much as they're my kids. Right, number one. Right, you call them B'nei B'chari Yisrael. And then, Kamachatu. I know it's been a couple of months since you had an English class in math, but this is just basic arithmetic, so hopefully you still remember. Yitzchak says, well, how much did they sin anyway? How much does the average person live? Yitzchak says, Kamachatu Adam, 70 years. So at most they sin was 70 years, right? Let's take off 20 because you're not punished B'dei Shemayim until age 20. So we're down to 50. Down to 50, good.
Why didn't they ever tell me that?
What? Okay, Hashem might still be upset at us until 20, but okay, fine, we're down to 50. It doesn't mean that it's a good idea, but number one, to get down to 50. So then he says, and take off another 25, have it again, because we're sleeping half the time. We're going to fault us for when we're sleeping. That's a lot of sleep. But I could use some of that sleep right now. But anyway, so take off another 25 because, you know, we're sleeping. So we went from 70 to 50 to 25. Then he says, have it again. Take off another 12 and a half years because they're involved in their basic human needs. So you can't fault them for just being involved in their basic human needs. What would you put on the list of basic human needs? Basic human activities.
Sleeping.
What would you put on the list? Sleeping, we did already.
Eating.
Eating, drinking. Bathroom. That's good. I would have put that there.
Bathroom.
Bathroom. There's three things on the list. Eating, bathroom, davening. Davening is called a basic human need. I didn't see too many people being medayik about that, but it's the first one on the list. Sluye umechalu beisakise. So there's 12 and a half left. So then the Gemara is like, Hashem, you can't handle 12 and a half years of sin? And if you can't, I did the akedah, case closed. I gave my life. That's the Gemara. But you see from there that it's part of our makeup is to talk to Hashem. That is message number two of the akedah, and that's what Yerushalayim symbolizes. Right, what do we say in Tzlichos? Ki besi beis tefila yikare. For cholam, not only for Jews. So number one, Yerushalayim symbolizes total self-effacement, total acceptance of the word of Hashem. Even if I don't understand it, remember Avraham Avinu had to overcome, you know, is going to ruin his whole spiritual life. It's the explicit promise. So, number one. Number two, second message, the clarity of communication. That's the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. That's what the Akedah symbolizes. The clarity of communication between man and Hashem, and that's Nevuah and that's Tefillah, two sides of the same coin. Third idea in Source 26. Right, I underlined Sluye, that's davening. Yeah. And then I gave you the Reb Chaim, which you probably are familiar with. Tefillah is the two kavanas in Tefillah. One is about knowing what the words mean. One is recognizing that you're standing in front of Hashem. That's 23. Yeah.
On base, I gave over the idea of self-hatred at some point. A friend of mine told me in the name of Druckmann says, why do we stop to daven and not like learn all day? So he says exactly this idea that the davening is our conversation. Torah is Hashem's
talking to us.
And we have davening when we talk to him.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. So third idea. Source 26, Rav Meidan, he's a Rav in Gush today. He has an article about Yom Yerushalayim. He says a third idea of the Akedah is the belief that no matter how bad things look or how bad things get, Hashem will never forsake us. Hashem will always be there for Am Yisrael, even if the sword is on our neck. Right? Avraham Avinu was about, he had his knife up, and at the last second, the Malach Hashem says, "Al tishpach yad kolanar." Stop. That's what the Akedah tells us too. We might be hurt. We might be injured. Hashem will never let us nationally falter. Remember Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the greatest miracle in the history of the world is not Kriyas Yamsuf, is not the mun falling for 40 years. What's the greatest miracle in the history of the world? And he said this 300 years ago. The fact that the Jewish people are still around. Makes no sense. That's the greatest miracle. Can't fathom it. Every single century, there's been somebody who wanted to kill us. Every second of our existence, the fact that we're sitting here in the land of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah together, is a miracle. There were more than a billion people around us that would rather us not be sitting here learning Torah. And yet we're here. It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable that we're just, let's just appreciate this. But that's part of the promise of the Akedah. You know, World War II, 1945, was a third of us were killed, but not all of us. Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise. Hashem promises to never forsake us. Gemara Brachas Daf Yud. Remember this Gemara? Chizkiyo HaMelech is on his deathbed. He's dying, and he's one of the righteous kings. And he calls Yeshayahu HaNavi. He says, Yeshayahu, what is going on? Why am I dying? And Yeshayahu says, well, you didn't have children on purpose. Right. If Chizkiyo doesn't have children, he's part of Malchus Beis David. That's the end of the line. It's not just like a person who doesn't have a child. It's Chizkiyo HaMelech. So Chizkiyo HaMelech says to Yeshayahu, but I see b'nevuah that what? I see b'nevuah that my son is going to be Menashe, and he's going to be a murderer, and he's going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why should I have a son who's like Menashe? What does Yeshayahu say? Not your business. Not your business. Not your business. You have a Mitzvah Kuruvu. Not your business, what the Nevuah. So what does Chizkiyo say? Okay, how about I marry your daughter? So maybe like the schus of both of us, you know, could try to overcome the Gzerah. Chizkiyo says, Yeshayahu, can I marry your daughter? Right, line 5. Havli Bartech. Afshar de garma schusa didi v'didach. Maybe the schus together, v'nafki minai banan demalu. Maybe we'll have a great child. Right? Parenthetically, right? They did have a child, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech murdered his own grandfather, Yishayahu HaNavi. That's why Yishayahu HaNavi didn't write his own sefer. What?
Chizkiyahu's son.
Yes. Menashe, Chizkiyahu's son, but Chizkiyahu married Yishayahu's daughter, so he ended up killing his grandfather. Right, so says in the story, so he says, give me your daughter. Yishayahu says, it's not going to help. There's already a gzeira, for an igzra gzeira. Chizkiyahu stands up and says, Yishayahu, shut your mouth. There's never a gzeira. And that's what his lashon. Kama kubani de'esava, afilu cher chadim unachas al tzavar shel adam. Even if the sword is on your neck, don't stop davening. Where does that lashon come from? Even if the sword is on your neck. Okay, that's yes. Right? Even if the sword is on your neck, Hashem will never forsake us. Hashem will always help us out, even at the last moment. That's the third message of the Akedah. Even when things look dreary and dark. One final connection to this, and I'll take the question. The Rav has an unbelievable comment also. If I would ask you, you know, in the summer we have the 3 weeks, and then the 9 days, and then Shavuot Shachalbo, and things get more intense and more intense and more intense. At what moment do we feel like a little more like relax? At one moment do we like kind of start thinking about laundry? Let's be honest. Don't be a tzaddik.
Tishba off the man.
Oh! Thank you, Natano, for being honest.
No, I think you've said this before.
I've said this before. What? Yeah? I'm saying so. It's right here. Tishba afternoon. So it fits into this idea. What do you mean? That's exactly when the Beis Hamikdash really started burning. Right, Rabbi Yochanan says, if it was up to me, I would make the 10th of Av. Tisha B'Av. Because the Rav said, up until that last moment, right, even the Malachim didn't know, is Hashem going to punish the people who deserve to be punished, meaning us, or take a mashkon, take a security? Right? And once the Beis HaMikdash started burning, you know what that showed? Hashem will never forsake us. Hashem will never let us, you know, be totally destroyed. Baruch Hashem, you remember something I say? Baruch Hashem. But, saying. The Chazar ideas are good, because then it means it solidifies it in the brain. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's the third idea of Akedah. And that's Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim symbolizes that Hashem will always be there for us. I think I might have mentioned also, you know, the Midrashim 2,000 years ago talk about the Shekhinah on the Kotel. If you would have gone over to a Roman soldier 2 weeks after the Churban Beis HaMikdash and said, you see that wall over there? It's going to be there 2,000 years. He would say, you're crazy. We didn't finish, but we're going to break it next week. Next week, there's one wall left. We didn't get to it. Don't worry, everything is burned. We'll break it next week. No, the Shekhinah is never going to leave that wall. What are you, nuts? Who would have the audacity to say that this is going to be there in 2,000 years? That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise. Hashem's promises that the Shekhinah lo zaza mikotel maravi is written by the Tanaim. Shekhinah lo zaza mikotel maravi. That's part of this message. That's Yerushalayim. Hashem will never forsake us. You have that.
Yeah, we're stopping Chizkiyahu from saying, I think Achayim Chadov 5 minutes ago when he refused to have a son.
Because he didn't know, he refused to have a son because he saw that maybe history will continue. I don't have to put myself into a situation of like bad omens, right? I don't have to like do something, but now I'm forced to, so I'm going to do it. But like, you know,
he's forced to now, but not 10 minutes ago.
He thought that maybe history will survive without him, you know. But you're right. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. It's a mitzvah. But maybe he thought that maybe a different line would continue with Malchus based David. But you're right. He saw a nevuah, but it wasn't that. You know, so he was going to try, maybe not to, you know, it's a good kasha, but I think you would hear he's saying, do it, you know, and it's going to be bad. Like, no, what it means, it's going to be bad. So, but it's a good kasha. So these are the three ideas about Akedah, and these are the three ideas about Yerushalayim. But maybe to put them all together, it's one last line. Put the three ideas together, maybe as one package. The first message is our unwavering commitment. Maybe message number one is what we do for Hashem. Message number three is what Hashem does for us. Right? He will never forsake us. He'll always be there for us. And message number two is about the connection and communication that we have with each other. So that's what Yerushalayim reminds us and symbolizes. What Hashem does for us, what we do for Him, and the connection and the communication. That's why we should never forget and let the feeling, you know, oh, Yerushalayim, I could be there 18 times a day, and recognize its beauty, recognize its power, and recognize, you know, what we constantly daven for. And maybe just to end with a thought of the Slonim Rebbe. Go back page. The Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiv HaShalom, has a little kuntris, like 30 pages, called Haharuga Alecha, killed for you. It's all his sichos that he gave after the Holocaust, all about the Holocaust. He didn't give them on Yom HaShoah. He didn't believe in Yom HaShoah, I doubt, but he spoke, gave sichos about the Holocaust. So he says there, why is Yerushalayim never mentioned in the Torah? Right, the word, what's the first time Yerushalayim comes up? Yeshua Perek Yud. The first time it's in Tanakh. Hashem doesn't tell anybody. He says, to the place where I will show you. Right, the Gemara even says, I give you the Gemara. In Zvachim, the priest before, that David HaMelech moves to Yerushalayim, and he says, okay, I'm going to build a base of Midrash here. And Hashem says, wrong spot. David got the wrong spot. He went to a place called Ein Etim, which is a mountain higher, and says, wrong spot. Why didn't Hashem tell him? Why did Hashem keep it covered? So the Nesiv HaShalom says, it's the same reason that the whole Eretz Yisrael was covered to Avraham Avinu. Remember the Rashi at the beginning of Lech Lecha? Hashem says, go to the land. Which land? I'll let you know. Just go. Why didn't he tell him? Kedei lechabava be'enav, to make it beloved in his eyes. If you don't know something right away, it generates excitement. You ever wrap a present for somebody? And when they open the present, they rip off the wrapping and they throw it in the garbage 10 seconds later, and then they have the present. Why do you wrap it? What's the purpose of wrapping a present if the wrapping lasts for 5 seconds? Because it creates a chavivus. It creates a, what is this? Like it's hidden. Let me see. That's what Hashem did to Eretz Yisrael, to Avraham. And that's what he did to Yerushalayim for all of us, including for David HaMelech. To make us yearn for it. To make us, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is. To the place where I'll show you. And then Nesiv HaShalom says, the more we yearn, the more Hashem wants to give it to us. Now we have Yerushalayim, but we don't have Habenuya. We have one outer wall, but that's a far stretch of what we want. We don't want the Shechina on the Kotel. We want the Shechina in the Kodesh Kodashim. The more we yearn for it, the more Hashem will see that and give us more and more. So especially this type of week where we think about Yerushalayim a little more, and Friday we'll go to the Kotel Friday morning to daven together with hundreds of other Talmidim. Right? All the Yeshivot has their daven together. At the Kotel Friday morning. It's really beautiful. So we should spend some time yearning. Spend some time davening. Spend some time researching. You know, like by the break today, you know, if you have 10 minutes, just Google, you know, Six-Day War stories, whatever it is. Just appreciate what happened and appreciate the significance of the time we're living in. The Shem should be zochet to have a lot of yearning, and in that way to get Yerushalayim, Habenuyah. Okay? We'll stop here. So Wednesday we'll pick up with Lobolo Lazaro, and then we're doing Kachazama Lobolo Lazaro.